Our building is going to be washed away if this continues. For those of you who are new here, we are starting a new series for the summer entitled Summer of Wisdom, and we're going to go through some of the great themes of the book of Proverbs. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, I'm going to use the verses on the screen so we have one translation before us, because some of the words are different in your translation. But you should try to follow me in your Bible so you can find these verses, even though they're on the screen before you. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we ask that you would make us people of wisdom, that we would live wise lives and in the fear of the Lord, and we would please you. We pray for our children and our grandchildren. We ask for them that they would be wise children. They would learn your ways and live in your ways. So through this series, we ask you to change us, transform us, speak to us very clearly, help us in those areas of life that we are very weak, areas that need improvement. May your word be the sustaining power and the conviction that we need to make these changes. So help us this morning, focus our minds, protect us from wandering in our thoughts. May we hear very clearly your voice and not the speaker's voice. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there are many themes in Proverbs, and we'll look at those, but this morning we're going to take the theme of anger. Now, I want to remind you that Proverbs was written by a king and also by wise sages, and it is primarily directed to youth. So look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, and David looked at this a little bit last week, verse 4, and to give... These are reasons for Proverbs, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The writer is concerned about the future generations. He is writing to future kings and queens, future leaders, future influencers, noble people. If you read your newspaper or you listen to the news, you see what a country suffers when they have a foolish leader. Leaders that rob the people. Leaders that are selfish leaders, poor administrators. What a blessing, whether in a church or in a nation, to have wise leaders. And that's why we're encouraged to pray for them. So the writer of Proverbs wants wise leaders in the future, wise youth. Now, we have many young people in this church, and we have many young families. And I cannot think of a more applicable series than this series in Proverbs. And I hope, moms and dads, that you will take Proverbs and teach them to your children. When our children were small and they were at the table with us in the evening, we did different studies throughout the years. And I think one of the most interesting studies we did as a family was going through the Proverbs. And we would tell stories from our own life of showing when we were foolish and wise. And for some reason, our children always wanted to hear the foolish stories of our lives. Hopefully, they will not tell people of these things. Hopefully. And don't ask them, by the way. It's not right. There's a proverb about that, and I'll tell it to you later. Now, you cannot teach young people the wisdom of Proverbs if you don't know Proverbs. So you need to learn this book. Here's a good challenge for the summer. Why don't you read through Proverbs twice? One chapter a day. You can easily read through the book twice this summer. And then start marking those verses. By the way, I've done this numerous times. Gone through Proverbs and listed verses on particular subjects I'm interested in. And it's very helpful. Now, this subject of anger is a very big problem in society, in the world, in families, sometimes in our own personal struggles in our mind. And so the Bible addresses this important subject of anger. Now, the first thing Proverbs says about anger is this: be slow to anger. In fact, that's probably the primary thing it says: be slow to anger. The Bible tells us that God is slow to anger. And for that, we should be eternally thankful. And thus, he expects his children to be slow to anger. Let's just look at a few of these proverbs. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. What he says here is this: if you are slow to anger, you're a strong person. In fact, you are stronger than a mighty warrior soldier. That's who he's speaking of here when he speaks of the mighty. In other words, you have strength for battle, for life, and you will have victory in life, particularly in the many upsetting situations that happen to all of us. The weak person, however, loses his temper. Second verse, Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger. In other words, common sense teaches us it's good to be slow to anger. Common sense knows that patience is a marvelous virtue, that impatience hurts people and has terrible consequences. In fact, good sense teaches us from watching others of the folly of a quick-tempered, hot-tempered person and the terrible things that happen as a result of that. A person with good sense knows that life is very complex. People are complex. Situations are complex. And so we need to be slow to anger in order to understand life and people and to be a real problem solver. Number three, Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. In other words, if you can control your temper, you're smart. You're a wise person. The quick-tempered person is a person that loses rationality. But a person who is slow in temper has full control of the capacities of the mind. And so it's very important, if we want to have understanding of people and situations, to be slow to anger. And I will tell you, life is filled with many situations that will provoke your anger and boil your blood. And if you are slow to anger, you'll have greater understanding of why these things happen and of people. It will help you immensely. It'll help your whole thinking process. The fool, in contrast, is always out of control. Now, here's an interesting proverb, although it's in Ecclesiastes. We have a little liberty here. Ecclesiastes 10:4. It's a proverb. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place. Now watch carefully, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. So your boss at work gets very angry at you. He's threatening to fire you. You have failed him. Don't run. Don't fire back your anger. Just stay calm. And the offenses will just calm right down. What wisdom this is. Stay calm. And soon everyone else will be calm. But if you fire back, I never wanted to work for you anyway. You're a lousy boss. You're a jerk. I read about you in a book, How to Serve a Jerk. Well, say goodbye to your job. No, if your boss gets angry, and if the ruler gets angry, stay calm, and soon everything will calm down. By the way, it's good advice for your marriage. Now, here's a great verse. Proverbs 15:18. He who is slow to anger quiets contention. You see, the slow to anger quiets contention because the person who is slow to anger controls himself. He can think straight. He can stay objective. He can make proper analysis of the problems. He is not responding to personal issues in self-defense. He actually rises above situations. And he takes control of the situation. When a situation arises, there's a contention, a disagreement, tempers start to flare. You're talking about politics. You're talking about religion. People get real hot under the collar, start yelling at one another, going to get up and walk away. Remember this. The person who is self-controlled, who is slow to anger, will diffuse fiery tempers and explosive situations. So this is a very important subject in dealing with real-life situations in the home, at work, and in the church. In fact, the Bible says this. The book of Proverbs makes a quick-tempered person a character issue. A character issue. It's the difference between being the fool of Proverbs and the wise person of Proverbs. He who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 14:29. Do not be quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. Proverbs 15:18. A fool always loses his temper. Proverbs 29:11. Then here's one that's a little hard to understand. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. In other words, when he talks to you, he's got like flames come out of his mouth, or he's got a sword and he wounds and hurts everyone with his tongue. He's quick with his tongue. So it is a character issue. It's an issue of morality and of virtue. Proverbs tells us we are to learn to be slow to anger and we are to be calm. Now, James picks up on this theme, and I mention James because James often writes like an Old Testament sage. He writes like someone that you would read in the Proverbs. So a very important verse in James to sort of bring together the Old and New Testament. It's a verse you should know very, very well for life. James 1, 19 and 20. Now, moms and dads, you can use James 19 and 20 in dealing with your children. Newly married people in this church, memorize James 1, 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person, three little, quick little statements that are life-changing. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, the reason for this, and the reason is very important. We'll come back to it. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Now, notice what James says. There's a flare in tempers. There's an issue that has arisen. James says, we often resist listening to the other person when this happens. We often resist listening to the other person. James says, be a good listener. And we often are too quick to spout our opinions and defend ourselves. Isn't that true? Get into a little scrap with someone, and you're real fast to tell you what you believe and what you think. James says, why don't you be slow to speak? And then we're ever so quick to express our anger when we're frustrated or opposed. He says, I want you, just like the writer of Proverbs, I want you to be slow to anger. Now, here's why you should be slow to anger. He explains this, and I hope you will never forget this, because your anger does not produce the kind of righteous behavior that pleases God or that God expects from his children. Did you hear that? The reason you want to be slow to anger is that when you think you're going to do God's work by your anger, or you're going to straighten people out with your anger, or you're going to just let off some steam so you feel psychologically better about yourself, remember this. It does not please God, and you don't get God's work done in this way. It doesn't produce the kind of character that God wants produced in his people. This is a true story. In a class on church history, the teacher was teaching of early church history, and he said this statement, that Constantine was not a real believer. He was just a professing believer. Now, Constantine is the great emperor who authorized Christianity and said he was a Christian. He said he was the conqueror by the cross, had a vision of the cross. And so the teacher said this was a profession he was using, Christianity. Well, one of the students became outraged and so angry and challenged the teacher and said to the teacher, who are you to judge that man and say he's not a Christian? I believe Constantine was a great Christian and a wonderful Christian leader. Well, and the teacher fired back in anger and said, well, you don't know anything about history. You're ignorant. And the fire got so heated up they had to just end the whole discussion. Next week, came back to class, and the teacher started again. The teacher said, Constantine was a great emperor, but he was not a true believer. Well, the student said, oh, I thought you were talking about Augustine, the bishop of Africa. I didn't know you were talking about Constantine. And the professor said, no, I'm talking about Constantine, not Augustine. Well, the student said, I thought you were talking about Augustine, not Constantine. And so they realized neither of them disagreed with one another. They both believed that Constantine was not a real believer, that Augustine was a real believer. If they had only read James 1, 19 and 20, they would have known. Why don't I listen a little bit? What is he really saying? Ask some questions and be slow to anger. But they were quick to anger and they never even heard one another. They just had a shouting match talking over one another's heads. How often that happens to us. We hear about a subject that maybe is very sensitive to us or as they say, don't talk about politics with friends and relatives. You'll destroy the relationship. And so often that's true. People just get into a fury of arguing and they just lose control of themselves and say the most foolish things and realize they didn't even hear the other person. Anger is a very big problem. There are Christian people who would never curse, steal, miss a church prayer meeting, think of getting drunk, and yet they think nothing of tearing others down in their anger. It's almost acceptable behavior. Henry Drummond says this, speaking of godly people who yet allow their anger to be self-indulged, says, it's the vice of the virtuous. The vice of the virtuous. We've even baptized it in certain denominations. Both the Old and the New Testament condemns quick-tempered behavior, and it praises those who control their temper and anger. So the first thing we learn in Proverbs is this, is that it is a virtue to be wise and to be slow of anger. You know, this is a wonderful thing to teach your children. You ever see little children? I mean, they can be 2 years of age and they can wail on one another. It's wonderful to watch little children because remember, we behave like them, just that we're more subtle about it and more sophisticated. We do just what they do. So I'm watching my grandsons in the backyard. They hug and they're playing with each other. And then within a second, they are beating one another. They are... take a rock and hit each other on the head. They are going at it. They bite one another. They are so angry at one another. Go out there, smack them. All right, calm down. Okay. Hug each other again. We do the same thing. Act like children. They can really show tempers. In fact, newborn babies can show tempers. Actually, the Bible says it's a work of the flesh when a temper is out of control. So the first thing is, it's a virtue. It's a wise person who is slow to anger and calm of spirit. All right, number two, the second major thing we learn is control anger. First, slow to anger. Second, control anger. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. In other words, he just lets go. No restraint, but a wise man quietly holds it back. In other words, the key word is restraint. Now, let me say something about anger. Anger is a perfectly normal human emotion. If you never have anger, you are not human. Or you are on way too much medication. Either one. It's a normal emotion. The Bible says God is angry and he's angry against sin all day. The only difference is that God's anger is controlled and it's a perfect expression of anger and love. We too experience anger, and we can experience righteous indignation against injustice and blatant wickedness. If you hear of 1 million young girls who are taken into the slave sex trade, and you don't get angry at that, then there is something wrong. You hear of teenagers giving themselves over to a life of drugs. You hear of young people being destroyed by lives that are just futile, and you see a whole life ahead ruined, you should be angry at that. You hear of abortion, you should be angry at that. You hear of the wars on the borders of Mexico and the United States, and let me tell you, we're involved in that because we are the ones who want the drugs. We're a drug-addicted nation. You should be angry at that. You should be angry at that. I think of Wilberforce and his anger against slavery. For 40 years he fought against it, and at the end of his life he saw Parliament pass a law against slavery. Martin Luther said he wrote best when he was angry. So anger is a normal emotion. Remember when the Lord Jesus went into the temple and he saw the religious leaders turning the temple into a merchandise market to make money for themselves, he took a whip and threw them all out in perfect righteous anger. He was doing the will of God. He was led of the Holy Spirit to do that. So there is righteous anger. But here's the key. There's nothing wrong with righteous indignation against wickedness and injustice and some of the just monumental, horrible things we see going on in the world today. The problem is it has to be spirit controlled. That's the difference. And as sinful people, righteous anger real quickly slips over into sinful anger. There's an example of that in the Old Testament with two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi. They're two of the sons of the tribes, of the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you remember the story, their sister, part of it was their fault too, Dinah was raped by the men of a certain city, or at least by one man in a certain city. Well, they plundered the entire city, killed all the male members in an uncontrolled rage against this city. Now, there was ample justification for their anger. However, it was completely unrestrained anger, and so they lied. They brutally killed, they shamelessly plundered a city, they dishonored God by not seeking his guidance, and Jacob their father says this of their anger, "Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel." In other words, they had some justification, but the way they went about it was just out of control anger. And they thought they were justified in just killing a whole bunch of people and doing what they wanted to do. There are Christians whose anger is fierce and their wrath is cruel, and they are not led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led by passions. And like Simeon and Levi, they overreact to problems. They slay their brothers and sisters. They plunder a church. They decimate a family. And they justify the whole thing. Anger is very self-justifying, by the way. Very deceptive also. There was a great denomination here in the United States, and in this denomination there was a disagreement over prophetic matters, and one man took it upon himself to straighten the whole denomination out. And in his anger and his emotional passions, he was slandering people and forcing issues, and finally, as a result of one angry man, that whole denomination split right down the middle. 10 years went by. And 10 years later, that man came back to the denomination to publicly apologize for what he had done 10 years earlier. And he apologized for slandering people, judging people's motives, for completely losing control of himself, thinking he was doing good things when in the end he did far more evil things. Well, the man who told me this story said, well, we forgave him, but we couldn't undo all the damage he did. Do you know how many children are ruined by the angry father or angry mother? Or a spouse destroyed by an angry partner, living in fear? It's a very serious sin. The point of the passage is anger has to be controlled. That's why we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, 26 and 27, very important passage, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. What he says here is be angry. Okay, that's a normal emotion. Someone hits you in the face, you're going to be angry, right? Be angry, let it out. But notice what he says. Do not sin. Do not sin. It's this fine line. It's a real fine line. Be angry, but don't sin. Because the natural tendency is not to be righteously angry, but to be angry, but to be sinfully angry and to be destructive. The natural tendency in all of us is to sin with our anger, to let it consume us, to let it fester, cause deep bitterness and hatefulness, to avenge ourselves by any means, to justify ourselves in the whole process. And so be angry, but don't sin in your anger. You're responsible to control it. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, deal with it properly and in the proper time. Don't just let it go on and on. Remember, it festers. It gets deeper and you get more bitter. So take proper steps. When you're in an angry situation, we all get in these angry situations. We all do. No one here is exempt from this. We get angry at our parents. Parents get angry at us. We get angry at our spouse. We get angry at the church elders. We get angry at someone at work. Angry at neighbors who do dumb things and play music until 1 a.m. Okay, you're angry, but don't sin and deal with it. We had a neighbor, and I was going to cut some bushes, and they were on both sides of the fence. And so I went to him, and I said, I want to cut these bushes. And he says, oh, there's so many of them. Just cut them all down. Well, I said, no, I'll just trim them. So I thought we were doing what he said to do. It was at night, And so he couldn't see too well at dusk. And, well, I guess we trimmed a little bit too much on his side, but he said cut him down. And I didn't even do it, by the way. Of course, I had a friend do it. I would tell you it was Doyle Roth, but he'd never help me like that. He'd just make fun of me. The next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, he shows up at my front door, banging on the door. I'm gone. Marilyn comes to the door, and he says, if I had a gun, I'd kill your husband. Then he comes over to the church here, and at some men meeting, tells them he would kill me, too. And so here's this neighbor, and of course, he had problems. He had problems. I won't tell you other things. Don't be nosy. So this guy is enraged. He's enraged. Now, I could call the police, because he's threatened to kill me. He told my wife, told people in the church, he's going to kill me. So what am I going to do? Well, I figured we better handle this and handle it quickly or this thing is going to get out of control. And this type of person is an out of control person. In fact, really angry people look for situations like this where they can justify their already harsh, cold, angry spirit. And so I figured we better confront this right away. And so I saw him come home later, and I went right into his door. And I said, John, I'm very sorry for these bushes. Let's go to lunch. Let's figure this out. Whatever you want, we'll do this. Oh, he said, I didn't even like those bushes. Let's just cut them all down. Deal with it right away. That's the best thing. Don't let anger fester. Just deal with it. Confront it. Don't let the sun go down on an angry situation. Now, notice what he says. He says something very important. And don't give the devil an opportunity. That word is the word for a place, a platform. If you don't deal with anger promptly, and promptly, you actually wind up giving the devil a place in your life. And what he does is seize your anger. It's uncontrolled now. And he whips it up and he does far more damage. That's what happens in a church. People get angry at one another. And they say bad things about one another. And they build things up in their head. And by the time you're done, it's World War III. And the devil comes in and he makes havoc of a church using anger. Does the same thing in a marriage. I've told you this before, but I'm sure you forgot it. It says, don't give the devil a place. All right, so you're having a fight with your spouse. You're right, and she's wrong, of course. And you start to yell at one another, and you're really mad at one another. And why won't they listen to you? You're always right anyway. And things get out of control. Maybe there's a little pushing and shoving. So go over to the door. Go over to the door. Open the front door. And when your spouse says, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just letting the devil in. I'm letting him have an opportunity just to make things even worse here. Or you're in church. You're in a committee meeting. People start getting angry at one another. Shoot accusations against one another. Say terrible things about one another. Say, I always knew you were an idiot. Didn't know you didn't know the Bible. And you've got all kinds of nasty things to say. Just go over, get a chair, and put that chair next to the table. And when someone asks you, what are you doing? Just say, I'm just giving the devil a place here. That's what the Bible says. You give him an opportunity. You're inviting him in with your anger. If you don't handle anger properly, you give the devil an opportunity to do havoc in your life and the life of other people. So it's much more serious than you realize. Then the destructive fire. Anger is like fire. It can do good and it can do bad. It can heat and warm and feed, or it can burn the house down and destroy everyone in it. Now, as Bible-believing Christians, we need especially to control our anger because we deal with doctrinal and ethical issues of profound and eternal proportions. And so we feel very deeply about what we believe. Many believers are full of passionate intensity about their beliefs. And if someone contradicts their beliefs or tries to change things doctrinally or ethically, people could just let loose and there's no stopping them. So we need to be particularly careful that we don't allow our anger to be justified because we're fighting for God. We're fighting for the truth. Fighting for the truth is what you're supposed to do, but you have to do it in a controlled manner. You can't just do anything you want or say whatever you want because you're fighting for truth. One French skeptic said, men never kill so joyfully as when they kill for God. Uncontrolled anger is very destructive. The problem with uncontrolled anger is that it actually inflames emotions. It clouds judgment, and it just hinders any peaceful solutions. Uncontrolled anger is less rational. It's more self-justifying. In fact, when you are out of control with your anger, biologically things happen to you. You have some hormonal changes, and you cannot think properly or straight. Your mind, it goes into this sort of obsessive, compulsive thinking, and you're not even thinking straight. When we are out of control in our anger, we deal with people more harshly, and we say things we will later regret. When our anger is out of control, problems are exaggerated. Misunderstanding abound. Cruel and hurtful accusations fly all over the place. We're less objective. Reason disappears. When a disagreement starts, when we most need our reason, anger turns reason into temporary irrationality and mind-maddening conflict. We can't even be honest with one another. And we become full of fear when we're frightened of people's anger. So it is serious, the control of anger. And the wonderful thing is this, that the Christian has the Holy Spirit. And one of the graces and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Self-control. So if you have the Holy Spirit, He can help you to control these wild passions. Well, what are we going to do about this? Well, the Bible tells us what to do about it. Banish sinful anger. Banish sinful anger. There's a missionary, and I knew him very, very well because I grew up under him, and I heard him speak many, many times. He was a missionary to Angola for many years, and he lived almost to be 100 years of age. And when I knew him, in fact, he spoke at my baptism, and my mother was a real hardened unbeliever. And when my mother heard this, he was actually an Irish missionary originally, that beautiful Irish brogue, and of course, it's very gentle. My mother heard him speak at my baptism. She said, "That is the most wonderful man I've ever seen." And he's very gracious and very soft-spoken and just a charismatic, warm person. You see why I was a successful missionary, started many churches. And one time I heard him speak, and he said this, "When I was a young man, I had a very fierce temper," and I was just shocked. A fierce temper. This guy's as gentle as I've ever seen a person. He's had a very fierce temper, and I knew as a young missionary it displeased the Lord, and I'd be a problem on the mission field. And so he went about to deal with his angry temper. Well, you know, the Bible tells us how to deal with an angry temper. Now, he didn't tell us how he dealt with it, but if he followed the scriptures, here's what we would learn. First of all, take off the old garments of sinful anger. That's exactly what the scripture says. The Bible uses the imagery of having clothes and then taking clothes off. See, I've just taken my clothes off. That's all I'm taking off, though. That's all. It's a great biblical image. You take your clothes off, and then you're going to put something else on. So here's what we read here, Colossians 3, 8 and 10. "But now you, put them all away, anger." Notice the different kinds of anger. There isn't just one kind of anger. There's different kinds of degrees of anger and expressions of anger. "Put away anger," that's the more general one, "wrath," far more fierce, "malice," slander, "seeing that you have put off the old self," that's the old Adamic self, "with its practices, and have put on the new self," that's the person who's indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Christ living inside them, the born-again Christian, the new creature in Christ, "which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So, what is the believer to do? You have an anger problem? It could be some other problem. But in this particular case, you're to strip it off. Just take it off like you would take off worn out, old, filthy garments. It's no garment for a new person in Christ to wear. Angry attitudes are part of the old, unregenerate lifestyle and have no place in the wardrobe of a new believer in Christ. Now, Ephesians says the same thing in a parallel passage. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Now, how do we do this? Let's get practical now. How do we take off, put away an angry spirit? All right, number one, let me give you several keys. Number one, When you sense the first signs of anger, pray. That's the first thing to do. There's no question about that. That's how you put it away. You first turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, I feel those feelings. My face is turning red. Of course, they can spot me a mile away. My face is turning red. My heart's beating. I'm breathing quicker. And you get that heated feeling in your body. Say, Lord, calm me. Help me. Because if I'm out of control, I'm going to say and do things I'm going to terribly regret. Now, it may feel good at the moment to blow off a lot of steam and tell people off, and you feel really good about yourself. I told them all off. Wait till the next day. You will not feel so good. You will regret things you did and things you said. You will join the club of the fools. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but the wise man, he holds it back. Proverbs 14:29, he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. So you join a new club if you just let loose and let go. A second way to deal with anger, and this is a great point. Will help you control your anger immensely if you remember other people are watching you in provoking situations. Let me repeat that. It will help you immensely if you remember other people are watching you when you are in provoking situations. If you're in a situation with a provoking person, a person that just has that a unique gift to get under your skin and really get you angry, and your children are there, your spouse is there, your grandchildren are there, and you just boom, blow up and just say all kinds of awful things and just, stamp your feet and let go. I want to remind you, your dear friends are watching you and they're very embarrassed for you and your character has just been assaulted. But if you're in a provoking situation, you're with an angry person and you're in an angering situation, you act calmly, you act under self-control and you let reason rule, their estimate of you will just go up just like that. So I want to remind you, when you're in angry situations, you're under trial. Your character is on the line. People are watching you. And I would not want my grandchildren and my children to see me act like a fool. So remember, other people are watching you. Number three, a good rule to follow is don't speak or act when you have lost self-control in your anger. Don't speak or act when you've lost self-control. This is a very important principle. We all feel that feeling. You know exactly what I said a moment ago about those feelings inside. Your blood boils and you just want to say and do something. When you're in that state of mind, you will be sorry. Do not act. Wait. William Arnott writes these good words. A wise man may indeed experience the heat of anger, but he will do nothing till he cools again. When your clothes outside are on fire, you wrap yourself in a blanket, if you can, and so smother the flames. In like manner, when your heart within has caught the fire of anger, your first business is to get the flames extinguished. Thereafter, you will be in a better position to form a righteous judgment and follow a safe course. In other words, you won't even make a good judgment when you're angry. And you will take the wrong course because actually your brain isn't working properly. So, don't speak or act. You're under control. Number four, when you do sin in your anger, confess it immediately. Don't wait around. Don't wait till I'll feel better about myself tomorrow. Well, you may feel better about yourself, but it doesn't make any difference to God. When you catch yourself out of control, you say something really cruel. You strike right back at someone and you hurt someone with your anger, your facial features, your posture, your voice. Just confess it as sin right away. That's the best thing. Just be done with it. God is gracious. Psalm 103. He knows we're dust. He will forgive you. He will be gracious. And if you've sinned against others, just say, I am really sorry I acted like a fool. We've all done it. So, you're in the club. Just say, I'm very sorry. I did not mean to say that. And, some of you here are in leadership positions. And if you're in a leadership position, maybe it's at work or in the church or some other place, you're going to be a target. You're going to be in situations that are very angering. And you will in life say things you are sorry for. Just apologize right away. Be done with it immediately. And then number five, take practical steps to help an anger problem. Take practical steps. There's many good things. Let me just give you a couple practical steps. And again, we all suffer from different problems. Having an anger problem is a very common problem. Here's a good way to deal with it. If a person has an anger problem and you're counseling them, say this: I want you to study what the Bible says about anger. It actually has quite a bit to say. And also look at the examples in the Bible. You study what the Scripture says about anger and how to deal with anger. And if you will do that, it will help you. It will come to your mind when you need it. So that's a good way to start. Study what God's Word says about anger. Number two, ask for fresh grace every day to deal with the control of anger. Every day. If that's a particular weakness you have, some of you don't have that weakness, you have another weakness, you ask for the grace of the Lord to help you through that day. And then you can read some good books. There's lots of very excellent books on this subject that will give you practical tips. Now, what are we to do positively? Negatively, put it off or put it to death. It's sort of the idea of Jesus. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Your eye offends you, cut it out. In other words, amputation. Do radical surgery. If you've got an anger problem and it hurts people, then just cut it off. Put it away. Banish it. Don't play with it. Don't excuse yourself. Well, what are you to do? Well, here's what you do. You're to put on some new clothes. I'm going to put on some new clothes. Look good, doesn't it? These are new clothes. Put on new clothes. That's what he says. Take off the old clothes. I should have actually had another jacket up here, shouldn't I? Because these are really old clothes, but you get the point. All right, put on the new clothes. You know, it's not just a matter of putting away. You have to put on. You got to fill in the blanks. You got to, or we're vulnerable. So what are the new clothes we put on? Well, here it is, right in Colossians again. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Colossians says, put it away, now put on. Put on then. That's the idea of clothing. Put on then. What he means by put on is the character. See, I'm putting on a new character. I'm not actually just putting a jacket on. This jacket stands for my character. So I'm putting on a new character. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness. These are all the great Christian virtues. They can be wiped out by anger. Humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, I'm sure you've got plenty of complaints, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect, perfect harmony. God does not want his people to be an angry people, fighting one another all the time, striking out at one another, saying cruel and terrible things that really your mind will never let loose. That's not God's will. It's not God's will. Now dealing with angry people. Not only do we have to deal with our own anger, we often have to deal with the anger of other people. How do we deal with their anger? Well, the first thing is we always have to control our response. No matter how angry they are, cruel things they say, you are not justified in letting loose and just do what you want. Just get that straight. We are not to return evil words for evil words, insult for insults. The Bible says that 3 or 4 times in the New Testament. It says it in the Old Testament too. So of particular importance is Proverbs 15:1. So important. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I cannot tell you a more important verse here. Let's read it again because you weren't listening. A soft answer turns away wrath. So someone comes up to you and they are very, very angry at you. I don't know what you've done, but they're angry. And they feel good about their anger. They're going to tell you off. And they're raising their voice. You can see it in their face. Well, here's what he says. Return that anger with a soft answer, and then you'll turn that wrath away, that anger away, because a harsh word, it just now stirs up more anger. Now, this verse will save you in life many heartaches. So this is a practical verse you can use tomorrow at work. You can use this at home when you go at home. Children, use it with your parents. Memorize this verse. Study it. Meditate on it. Practice it daily. So you get a phone call and someone's on the other line of the phone and they are hot. You can tell they're hot. Some great injustice has happened to one of their children and they're calling you and they're letting you know they are very, very angry. Now, if you yell back and if you tell them off, that thing's going to go right through the ceiling. You're going to have an atomic warfare. But if you just lower your voice and if you just speak softly back, the steam of that anger will just disappear. This works. This works. A soft answer removes wrath. You will make no headway if you yell or if you show expressions of anger. It's just going to escalate. A loud, angry talk, threatening gestures, it doesn't solve anything. It just inflames anger. You know, Proverbs 29:8 says, a wise person turns away wrath. So really, a wise person knows how to turn away another person's anger, help a person in their anger. So I'm telling you advice that will save you many, many problems in life. When someone gets mad at you, ask the Holy Spirit to control you, lower your voice, lower the expressions, lower the rhetoric, and things will calm down, and then you can talk rationally at that point. Now, how do we deal with people who are prone to anger and they're a problem with this? Well, notice what Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says. Make no friendship with an angry man given to anger. No, go after a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Proverbs is saying this. Don't hang around with angry people. Don't associate with angry people. Monkey see, monkey do. It's a role model. If you live around angry people, guess what? You'll pick up on their ways. You'll learn their ways. Have you ever seen these gangs? You know, the cities, most cities have these gangs, and these gangs are actually very angry people. And they kill and they maim people. Well, they're very, very angry. Well, when young people join up with gangs, it's not long before they become just like these angry, murderous people. And so the writer of Proverbs is saying, parents, keep your children away from people like that. Keep your children away from people like that. Don't associate with them. And don't let a person like that entangle you in anger. If you're around an angry person, don't let them drag you into their anger. Just refuse. I was in church one day, not this church, but another church, and a man who I've known a long time who's already tried to confront me a number of times on this issue. It's a theological issue that Christians have been fighting about for 2,000 years. Right in church, after the church, he came up to me and started fighting and cursing at me right there in church. Well, I refused to respond to him. I was just quiet because I knew that's what he wanted more than anything else, to get more angry and more vicious and let me have it. And I just stay away from him. I see him, I go the other direction. That's what he's saying. Do not associate with angry people. Stay away from them. And I did talk to the local church about this situation. And in some cases, it is a need for church discipline. One person can destroy a church, and one angry person. Don't ever be naive about the angry person. They can destroy a family. They can destroy children. They can destroy a whole local church. They can destroy a mission compound. Now, I want you to look here at this chart right in back of me of the beautiful virtues of the new clothes we put on. Or to take off the old. That's the old unregenerate life. In Adam. By the way, you can't both be in Adam and in Christ at the same time. It's impossible. You're either in Adam or in Christ. Put off the old anger, the way you were in your former life. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, bitterness, clamor, shoutings, all of based on an angry disposition. That is sin. That you're to be done with. You're to banish it, reject it, take it off, amputate it. Don't tolerate it. Don't excuse it. The new life. Look at this new life. Grace, the graces of compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and bearing with one another, forgiveness of each other, love and tenderheartedness. Those two come from the Ephesians passage. Those are the virtues that are to characterize God's people. So when we're out of control in anger, we are putting on the old life. And it doesn't speak well of Christ, because Christ is not a person of anger. Well, isn't it interesting? He cleansed the temple, but he didn't kill them all. He could have killed them all. Really, Christ's life, when he describes himself, he says, I'm meek and I'm gentle. People didn't see him as an angry man, angry rabbi. Women felt very comfortable bringing their children. They do not bring children. Mothers don't bring their children to an angry man, an uptight, cold man. They bring them to a friendly man, a blessed man. And women felt very comfortable. People who were normally not accepted by the rabbis felt very comfortable to come to Jesus. Because these are Christ-like characteristics. Now, in the gospel, we receive the Holy Spirit. The moment we are converted, there's in Adam, there's in Christ. We're done with Adam. We're in Christ. we get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the life of God. And the Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character. And what is Christ-like character? Well, it's compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and all of these wonderful virtues. That's what we're to be characterized by and look like. And that's why an angry spirit is so out of line with Christ-like character. The gospel will give you the power. The gospel, the moment you're saved, you don't stop sinning, but the power of sin has been broken. The chains and slavery of sin has been broken for every believer when you come to Christ. That's what Romans 6 teaches. We still have sin, but its power, its rule and its reign over us, it's immediately broken and we have a new life. Alive to God, dead to sin, the Bible says. Alive to God, dead to sin. And so we have a new life and a new power. Do you know there are people sitting here right now, you know these people, I will not mention their names. And if you talk to them, they will tell you, at one time in my life, I had a terrible anger problem. I was a vicious person. And you would look at them today and say, I can't even believe that. How could that be true of you? Well, they're new in Christ. Now, it took some years of sanctification, growing in that new life, but they've dealt with that anger. The gospel will give you that power. The power over sin, the power to conquer these weaknesses that we all have. Will you stand with me as we close our time in prayer? You're going to have just 1 minute now. That's all I'm giving you, to 1 minute to deal with this issue before the Lord. Maybe it's your children. Your children are having an anger problem. Maybe it's a spouse that's having an anger problem. I want you to pray for them. I want you to be a source of help. So you pray for them. You pray for yourself now that we have these new characteristics of the new life we've put on. If you're dealing with an angry spirit, you get help from others, other believers. You pray about this. Study what the Scripture says so it will convict you and teach you. It will be a much better teacher than we can be. If you are facing angry people and having to deal with some angry people, you also get some help. And you talk to them about this. And you tell them you will help. If they don't see their anger problem and destruction they're causing you, you let them know you're going to tell someone to get help. Don't let them go on like that. It's very, very destructive, particularly with children. We have a responsibility to protect the children. Father in heaven, these are real issues we all face as sinners. Perfectly normal human emotions get out of control. They consume us. They become passions that run our lives. So we ask for your help, particularly in this area of anger, that we will be people known to be slow to anger. And we're people known to control anger, not allow the devil to do his havoc work. Through the Holy Spirit, give us power and self-control. May anger be used for righteousness and not for evil. For our children in this church, little children, older children, and teenagers, Lord, many of them have to struggle with this passion, and they don't understand it right now, and it gets the best of them. I ask that moms and dads will be able to teach them God's ways, the way of wisdom. To all these ends, we ask your help now, in Christ's name. Amen.